Breaking down this year's Wichita school board races, I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and listeners like you.
Coming up, a movie that hits home for the head of the Tallgrass Film Festival.
The whole movie, I sat there and just kind of held my grandpa in my heart and kind of thought, like, how would he feel if he experienced this movie?
But first, November's election will decide four seats on the Wichita Board of Education. And this year's campaign is shaping up much differently than the one 4 years ago. I'm joined by KMUW education reporter Suzanne Perez to talk about the local school board races.
Hi, Tom.
So this year's race features four incumbents trying to hold on to their seats. Tell us who's running.
Right. Incumbents in districts 1, 2, 5, and 6 are all seeking re-election. That's board president Diane Albert, Julie Hedrick, Kathy Bond, and Hazel Stabler. Now, three of those four, Albert, Bond, and Stabler, campaigned 4 years ago on really upsetting the status quo. They were part of this wave of conservative candidates really around the country who campaigned against COVID school closures and mask mandates and other hot-button social issues. Their challengers this year are all self-described moderate or even liberal candidates, and they include some retired teachers.
Two of those conservative board members recently got support from the local teachers union, which led to some controversy, correct?
That's right. United Teachers of Wichita have labeled Albert and Stabler as education-friendly, and that's in addition to their opponents, Mackenzie Truelove and Amy Warren. Some union members threatened to leave the union over that, saying those board members refused to wear face masks at their first meeting, and they held several views, at least back then, that were considered anti-public schools. But union leaders say Albert and Stabler have really changed since joining the board, and that's happening across the state. I recently spoke with Leah Flyder with the Kansas Association of School Boards, and she says some board members shift their thinking after getting elected.
They start to get some real experience with the real world governing piece of it, and they understand that there's quite a lot more involved to serving on a school board than just running on hot topic issues.
Flyder says this year's campaigns, for the most part, aren't really as partisan or focused on culture war issues as they were 4 years ago.
But that's not necessarily what's happening in Wichita's District 2 and 5. Talk to me about those races.
Right. In District 2, we have incumbent Julie Hedrick vying for a third term against a conservative Brent Davis. She narrowly defeated him in 2021. Now, complicating that race is a third candidate, Valerie Most. She's a former teacher and could draw some votes away from Hedrick and possibly give Davis the edge in that race. Over in District 5 in West Wichita, we have outspoken conservative Kathy Bond, who's running against Amy Jensen, a retired teacher. They disagree on most issues, including Wichita's need for a major bond issue, which Kathy Bond voted against earlier this year.
So what are the major issues facing the Wichita School Board this year?
Well, there is that bond issue. As you know, it failed narrowly in February, and now the big question is, will the Wichita District try again? Also, declining enrollment is a concern for Wichita schools. They're down 1,500 students this year, and that could mean more school closures. In addition, both the incumbents and challengers are talking a lot about student achievement, things like test scores and graduation rates. And then we have other issues like tighter restrictions on cell phones and other screens in class.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Tuesday is the last day to register to vote for the upcoming election, which is November 4th. A new documentary at the Tallgrass Film Festival resonates deeply with Executive Director Sierra Franklin Morton. The film Seeds shines a light on black farmers, their struggles and legacy. It's personal for Franklin Morton, whose family owns farms in Kansas and Oklahoma. Carla Echo spoke with her for this month's In the Mix.
Sierra Franklin Morton was mesmerized when she first saw the cover image of the film showing a black farmer with a very young family member.
That immediately made me think of, you know, most people said their grandpa, but for me, that was my pawpaw. That was my pawpaw, and he always called me Big Girl. That was my nickname for my grandpa all the time, because I grew up and I was, you know, more rough and tumble than the other kids. And just seeing that made me think of, like, oh my gosh, my grandpa. And like, my grandpa, you know, he lived in Wichita, but also he lived in Old Muggy, Oklahoma as well.
Farming in both places.
My grandpa was an excellent grower. He loved growing his like melons and just, and they were the best watermelons and cantaloupes ever.
Franklin says farming was a way of life.
That was something that was kind of very normalized to me. And then even here, when my grandpa wasn't here, he had a hog pen that was a little bit outside of Park City, where my dad would have to go on like Saturday mornings and go and do the feed and do everything.
Do everything. Like the black farmers in Seeds.
So the whole movie, I sat there and just kind of held my grandpa in my heart and kind of thought, like, how would he feel if he experienced this movie? Are these common archetypes of people that he knew or people that he would traverse with when he was, you know, going to buy the feed for, you know, the livestock he had? They're going to buy seeds.
We save seed corn. You have to, black farmers do. They have to save our seed. Because of us not getting any funding, any money at the farm, where we can't go buy seed. This is what we save. Now, this brand you can save, but the Roundup Ready you can't save. You have to buy their seed every year.
He was saying he doesn't have the luxury to go to the seed store because it's $400 a bag. And it just makes me kind of think of, like, we have that innate sense that we always have to make sure that we have something kind of in reserve or in stock for us, or we got to find a way to make it stretch to work for the best that we can. And that hit me a lot.
This is what we have to do. But it's good, because this is the old-fashioned corn. The health for the body, the healing of the body is bred into this.
Seeds won a top grand jury prize at the Sundance Film Festival and continues to rack up awards. Franklin says it's a powerful documentary to bring to the Tallgrass Film Festival, examining the joys and struggles of black farmers.
We're in danger of losing these unique stories. And one thing that kind of touched my heart this year is I wanted to make sure that we have a festival that's very inclusive, that shows these very diverse stories, because I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. But if what we could do for this year is find a way to showcase these stories, I think that's a powerful thing for us to do.
For The Range, I'm Carla Eccles.
The Tallgrass Film Festival opens Thursday. And one last thing. Journalism is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of business. No matter how good your story or newscast was that day, you start all over again tomorrow. Which is why it was nice Monday night to forget about news cycles and deadlines, if only for a few hours. The awards banquet for the Kansas Association of Broadcasters is a chance to spend time with other journalists, and a reminder of all the great work we did the previous year. I had nearly forgotten about Carla Eccles' story about students from Gordon Parks Academy going to Paris to shoot photos like the school's namesake once did, and Suzanne Perez reporting from yet another classroom, and the strength of our Wichita's Early Edition podcast. It was a nice evening, but as I drove back to Wichita, I was already thinking about tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Jonathan Huber, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torrin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.